Well, good morning. Good morning and welcome to Bowmansville. It's good to see you here today as we gather this beautiful summer morning to worship the one true and living God. I'd like to extend a special welcome to everyone and an extra special welcome to any guests who are worshiping with us, and also an extra special welcome to those who are joining us via live stream this morning. So would you receive this call to worship this morning? God, who spoke the world into being, we ask that you would speak your wisdom among us today. We seek your wisdom to live in peace. The God who loves the world extravagantly, draw us near to your heart this day. We seek to know your perfect love that drives out fear. The God who gives bread to the hungry, fill us with courage to freely share the bread of your word. So we seek your power to loosen our tongues, that the world might rejoice to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. So I invite you to join in raising our voices in praise to the one true and living God.
Well, I invite you all to stand if you're able this morning as we worship.
See you in the glory.
Leadership Training Fund and the Men and Women's Ministries, and there's also the My Coins Count for the kids.
Join me in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for each person here this morning. Thank you that we could come and worship you and learn more about you, Lord. We thank you for the tithes and offerings that are up here this morning, Lord, that we ask that you would bless them as they are used for men's and women's ministries and also to support the training of our pastors, Lord. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Thank you. For
I'd like to invite the children to come forward for the children's story. Can you find a seat? There you go. Well, good morning.
Morning.
How are you guys today?
Good.
Excellent. So I need a volunteer today. Your hand went up first. So come back here. What do you see in there? Stones, okay. So what I'd like to do is to make some stones float today. So could you take two stones out of there and drop it in the water? They didn't float. Okay, you can have a seat. Someone else? So you take two stones out of there. See if we can get them to float. That didn't work either. You want to try it? Okay. Okay. So there's got to be a really small stone. I think that's the smallest one in the bag. Think that one will float? So why didn't they float?
Because they're more than two water.
They're heavy.
Stones don't float, yes, and they're heavy.
They're more dense than water.
Okay. Yes, that's very true. So I want to read you a story about Jesus walking on the water. So there was a, did you ever hear that story before? Let me read it to you. Jesus' disciples got into the boat and went ahead of him to the other side while he dismissed the crowd. After he dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from land, and the winds were really blowing. So the disciples were having a hard time rowing the boat. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus came out to them walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you in the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked in the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried out, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus reached out his hand, caught him, and he said, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" Then he climbed back into the boat. The wind died down, and those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So there's a story where Jesus walked on the water. So it was a supernatural miracle that Jesus walked on the water. So what does supernatural mean? You ever heard of the word supernatural? Yeah, you heard the word. No, you didn't hear the word. You're hearing it here for the first time. Supernatural. Do you know what that means? Something that's unexplainable. Naturally, a stone doesn't float in the water. It sinks.
But a feather.
A feather would float. Yeah, that's right. A feather would float.
Even so.
A turtle can float? Yeah, they can float also.
And a duck.
A duck, yeah. So the point is, Jesus can do supernatural things, and he can change our hearts and change our lives as we seek to him. But we got to keep our eyes on him, because when Peter went to walk in the water, he walked in the water until he looked down and saw the waves that were getting really high, and then he became afraid. Then he sank, and Jesus reached out and took his hand and lifted him up out of the water. So Jesus can help us if we keep our eyes on him and focused on him. Okay? So this morning I'd like to have a prayer. I'd like to pray for Bryce, because Bryce had an MRI this week. He had a 2-hour MRI, and the technician was amazed that he was able to be there for 2 hours. They were originally going to split it into two MRIs, but because he did so well, they did the MRI all in one day. So we're going to pray for Bryce this morning. We're going to ask that God would heal him of all the dizziness that he's experiencing, and just ask for God's blessing upon him. So can we do that? Okay, let's pray. Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for your many blessings. We thank you that you care about us, no matter what age we are. So I just want to lift up Bryce to your throne of grace this morning, and I pray, Father God, that you would touch his physical body with healing. Thank you that he was able to go through the MRI on this week, even though it was a 2-hour procedure. Thank you that you were with him, gave him peace, gave him strength, and enabled him to do that. So again, we just lift him up to your throne of grace and ask for your hand to touch him in a supernatural, powerful, special way today. I thank you for each of these boys and girls and ask for your blessing upon them. Help them to understand that you are God who can do supernatural things in our lives and in the world around us. I pray you would give us eyes to see those things when you do them. Bless these children. In Jesus' powerful name I pray. Amen. So there's a snack at the end of the bench. You may have a snack and go back to your parents. Well, again, greetings in the name of Jesus Christ, the powerful name of Jesus. Good to see you all here today, this morning. A beautiful summer morning as we gather to worship the one true and living God. So thank you for your prayers on my behalf as I prepared for this message. I certainly do appreciate your prayers. And again, just an update on Bryce. He did have his MRI this week, and we're waiting on Tuesday, I think, they have a consultation with a doctor to see what the MRI showed, but we're not expecting anything because he had an MRI before and everything was clear, so we'll see. Also, there's a big hole up here this morning. That's because the youth group is currently on their way to South Carolina. So I just want to pause this morning and pray for them as they travel, that they would God would grant them traveling mercies and they would have a great week serving him. So would you join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for your many, many blessings. Thank you for the youth of this congregation. Just pray for those youth that are traveling right now, heading for South Carolina. We pray you would grant them traveling mercies, that they would also have a great week of serving you. And I pray that as they interact with people in South Carolina, that you would give them boldness to share what you've done for them in their lives. And I pray that you would give them safety on the job. And I pray that as they serve you, they would grow closer to you and closer to one another and build relationships with those people from the homes that they're working on. So we ask your blessing upon them this week and ask, Father God, that you would keep them safe and they could return safely home again. Bless our time together this morning as we look into your word. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen. So I've entitled this message, Guard the Good Deposit. It's based on 2 Timothy 1:14. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit. So this morning I'd like to take a look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 to 14. But first of all, a little bit of background. This is Paul's second letter to Timothy, and it was probably written about 2 to 4 years after his first letter. Timothy had been Paul's traveling companion on his second and third missionary journeys, and Paul had left him in Ephesus to help the church there. This second letter has somewhat of a somber tone, as Paul was in prison and he knew that he would soon die. But we need to understand that he was not dying of some disease in a sterile hospital surrounded by loved ones. The fact is, he was very much alive, but his condition was terminal because he had been convicted of being a follower of Jesus Christ. And now he lay in a cold prison, cut off from the world, maybe just a few visitors, and his writing materials. Paul knew full well that he would soon be executed. And so he wrote his final thoughts to his spiritual son, Timothy, passing to him the torch of leadership, reminding him of what was truly important and encouraging him in the faith. So this morning, just imagine that you're Timothy. You've received this letter. Would you read and reread every word that was written by your beloved mentor, knowing that this was probably going to be the last message he would receive from Paul. I would guess maybe that's what Timothy may have done. So I'd like to read 2 Timothy, the first 14 verses. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life that's in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as day and night I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I've been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of me, his prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what I've entrusted to him for that day. What you have heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. So, Father God, we just thank you for your word. And I pray right now in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that you would reveal nuggets of truth to us today, that those nuggets of truth would find a place in our heart and change us and transform us into who you desire for us to be as individuals and also as a corporate body here at Bowmansville. I pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. So what is it that God wants to reveal to us here this morning? What does the Holy Spirit want to reveal to you individually here this morning? Are you listening for the voice of God? 2 Timothy 1:4, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. What is the good deposit that was entrusted to Timothy? What is the good deposit that is entrusted to us here this morning? Second Timothy 1:6-7, for this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. In verse 5, Paul says he was reminded of Timothy's sincere faith, which first lived in his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. And Paul says he's now persuaded also lives in Timothy. Timothy's grandmother and mother, Lois and Eunice, were early Christian converts, possibly through Paul's ministry in their home city of Lystra. Apparently, Timothy's grandmother and mother had faithfully influenced him and had communicated their strong faith and trust in God to Timothy, and now he was growing into a faithful, godly church leader. And just a note, Timothy is the first second-generation Christian mentioned in the New Testament. So maybe a part of the good deposit that was entrusted to Timothy is the faith in God that was passed on to him from his grandmother and mother. Maybe one of the things that we here today have a tendency to take for granted is the godly inheritance that most of us have had passed down to us through many generations. Now, please understand, every individual person needs to make their own personal confession of faith in Jesus. No one can receive the gift of the salvation of their souls because their parents or their grandparents were or are believers. Everyone needs to recognize they're a sinner in need of a Savior and make that personal choice or decision on their own. We, as parents and grandparents, have a responsibility to model for our children and grandchildren what an authentic relationship with Jesus Christ looks like. We are not passing on religion. We are passing on what a relationship with Jesus Christ looks like. May God help us to faithfully do that in our families. So maybe that's part of guarding the good deposit, passing along our faith, providing a foundation for our children and our grandchildren to build upon. So when we see flickers of faith rising up in our children and grandchildren, we need to be there to fan that faith into flame so their faith can explode into a living and a vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ, which is empowered by the Holy Spirit. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." I very, very strongly believe that we, Jesus followers, have a good deposit that has been entrusted to us. A huge part of that deposit is the Holy Spirit. When we open up our hearts and our lives and allow the Holy Spirit to fill us with His presence, we do not receive a timid spirit. On the contrary, this is what we receive: a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. A spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. Now, I wish I could grasp what that truly means. God has given me a spirit of power. God has given you, as a follower of Jesus Christ, a spirit of power. And this definition of power that we're talking about comes from the Greek word dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite in our English language. I believe this power is supernatural. God has given me a spirit of power. Could we repeat that together? God has given me a spirit of power. Say that again. God has given me a spirit of power. So allow that to soak in
for a little bit. I, you, we have a spirit of power. God Himself has given us the spirit of power. The Holy Spirit is not the author of a timid or cowardly disposition or slavish fears. Slavish fears that include anxiety, despair, dismay, doubt, etc., etc., etc. The Holy Spirit is the author of the spirit of power, courage and resolution to meet difficulties and dangers, power to rise above the garbage and the dysfunction of this lost and dying world in which we live, power to be overcomers, power to be the salt and the light that we're called to be. It's impossible to be the salt and the light on our own strength. It is impossible to be an overcomer on our own strength. When we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit of the living God, we can live life on a completely different level or plane. So where else do we see this power in scriptures? Well, in Matthew 6:13, Jesus is teaching the Lord's Prayer. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Luke 1:35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Luke 8:46, but Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Luke 9:1, one day Jesus called together his 12 disciples and gave them power and authority to cast out all demons and to heal all diseases. Acts 1:8, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. 2 Peter 1:3, his divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And Ephesians 1:17-21, I'd like to read those verses. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. God has given us a spirit of power. Also, God has given me and you a spirit of love. Can we say that together? God has given me a spirit of love. One more time. God has given me a spirit of love. The love we're talking about is agape love, or God's perfect, unconditional love. Agape love is more than an emotion. It demonstrates itself through actions. Jesus lived out agape love by sacrificing his life on the cross of Calvary for the sins of the entire world. This kind of love is characterized by a brotherly, Christ-like love for others. Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. John 15:13, greater love has no one than this, that he laid down his life for his friends. And then Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 to 19. For this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and earth derives its name. I pray out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. God's spirit of love that we have received reaches into every area of our lives. It is wide, as it reaches not only into every area of our lives, but also out into the entire world. God's love is long as it continues the length of our lives. God's love is high as it rises to the heights of our celebration and our elation. God's love is deep as it reaches to the depths of discouragement, despair, and even death. We have received God's spirit of love as we live in this world as salt and light. We've also, those are the verses I read, we've also received a spirit of self-discipline. God has given me a spirit of self-discipline. Can we repeat that together? God has given me a spirit of self-discipline. One more time. God has given me a spirit of self-discipline. The King James says, a spirit or a sound mind. God has given us a spirit of self-control or self-discipline. The spirit of self-control is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. I also think the word moderation fits into this definition, along with self-control. God has also given us the spirit of a sound mind, or quietness of mind. Who has the best mind? Christ Jesus. Guess what? According to the scripture, we've been given the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians 2:16b. But we have the mind of Christ. We have spirit of self-discipline, which is directly tied to a sound mind, which is directly tied to the mind of Christ. No one can completely comprehend God. But having the mind of Christ means that through the revelation and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, believers have insight into God's plans, God's purposes, and God's perspectives. Matthew Henry's commentary states this: in the scriptures, the mind of Christ and the mind of God in Christ are made fully known to us. It is the great privilege of Christians that they have the mind of Christ revealed to them by the Holy Spirit. They experience his sanctifying power, which means to make holy, set apart as sacred, to purify or free from sin. They experience his sanctifying power in their hearts and bring forth good fruit in their lives. So, we have received a spirit of self-discipline, which empowers us to be overcomers. In conclusion, all this has been entrusted to us a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. 2 Timothy 1:14 says, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in you. I believe a big part of guarding this deposit is to use the power, use the love, use the self, and the result of all that being used will result in a spirit of self-discipline that fills our hearts and lives. We are God's good news people who are fully equipped with a spirit of power, spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline, relying on the Holy Spirit and not relying on our own understanding. Paul declares this in 2 Timothy 1:12b, I know whom I have believed. So I also believe a huge part of guarding this deposit is being convinced and believing what the Word of God says is true. That God is who He says He is, and God will do what He says He will do. Amen? So may our declaration today also be along with Paul, I know whom I have believed. Would you please join me in prayer? Almighty God, we do indeed thank you for your word. Thank you for these verses here in 2 Timothy. I just want to pray in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that you would reveal to each one of us through your Holy Spirit who lives in us. Reveal to us the depth of your love, the strength of your power, and also help us to understand that we can live with a spirit of self-discipline in this world which seeks only pleasure for themselves. So I'm asking in the powerful name of Jesus Christ that you would help us to understand, help us to grasp hold of this truth, that we did not receive a spirit of timidity, but we did receive a spirit of power, a spirit of love, and a spirit of self-discipline. And I pray you would help us to use those gifts for your honor and for your glory. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
good, Bob? So, it's time to assign people for Pray For Me again. We've been doing this for the past 2 years, assigning adults to pray scripture over the children in our congregation, ages 4 through high school. And I have this paper here of what I was going to tell you, but something in Larry's message struck me that I think I'm supposed to say something else. I wonder how many of you feel like this next generation, or the generation that sat up here on this bench, that generation may be the generation when the Lord returns and face the tribulation. They may be, we don't know. But how many of you think that it's getting closer and it might be them? I'd like you to raise your hand. Do you think it might? It might be. It's getting closer. You feel it getting closer. I feel it getting closer. And they need to be prepared. They need to be further than I am, maybe further than you are, in their relationship with Christ. They need to be strong. They need to be trained. Will you pray for them? Will you pray scripture over their lives? There is power in the word. The last 2 years we've had this program, and you're supposed to have 3 people to pray for each child, but we've only been able to get 1. I'd like to get 3 or more to pray scripture over these children, using a book, which I forgot to bring. It's a Pray For Me book. It's got the prayers. You might say you don't have the time or energy for active children's ministry, and I'm here to tell you you're wrong, because prayer is active children's ministry. You can do this. Each one of you can do this, and I believe that you know right now that you should. I believe it. So there are sign-up sheets in either foyer to join the Pray For Me thing. And you might be saying to yourself that, you know, yeah, I'll just pray for the children. But if you pray for them specifically and you pray scripture over them, that this child knows that they're praying, that you are praying for them, it's a powerful thing. And you don't have to, maybe you're afraid that you're going to forget some days. Well, I'm here to tell you that you probably will, because I do. I forget to pray some days, but they're getting more prayer than they would have if I wasn't praying. And maybe, you know, we're not looking for perfect people here. We're just looking for people who are willing to pray. And so I'm asking you to be one of them. I'm asking for older adults. I'm asking for parents of children. Pray for somebody else's children and pray for your own kids at the same time. Pray for your grandchildren at the same time that you're praying for the child in his congregation. It's powerful. I'm asking for young adults. You know, you're closer in age. You can understand a little bit better some of the pressures that these kids face. So I'm asking you to sign up. If you have a book, sign up on the sheet and mark that you already have a book. If you're new and you haven't done this before, sign up on the sheet. Say you need a book. There's a place there to put it. And put your email address. It would help me a lot if you put your email address. If you don't have an email address, sign up anyway. So, yeah. In a couple weeks, then you'll get the name of the child that you're going to pray for. So, that's what I got.
Thank you, Donna. I think that's a good word. And I think everyone sitting here has the ability to pray. So please sign up. Just by way of announcements, in 2 weeks, August the 8th, we will have Sunday school here as normal. But then there'll be a community worship service at the park at 10:30. There will be no worship service here. So I'm inviting you to come to the worship service in the park. There's going to be a tent set up. There's going to be chairs provided for you, so you don't need to bring your chair. But you're invited to come to that. It's all connected to the weekend of Community Family Fun Days, which is being planned. Every evening there's going to be some scripture readings, some worship time under the tent in the park, Friday night, Saturday evening, and also Sunday morning and evening as well. So you're invited to join in that. So would you stand to receive this benediction from Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace.